Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Sarah Marie, I don't know if I've crossed this bridge with you yet. I don't think we've spoken about our deepest, darkest fears with one another.
No, I was going to do that on Monday. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I do
enough.
That at about 10 past three?
I will. I'm just going to bust in early because this is something that Jess and I have discussed a lot. We speak about it a lot on the show. So maybe if people listen to the show every now and then, they might have heard that I have an extreme fear of dying.
Okay.
Of like ever. Not soon, not in 60 years. I never want to die.
That's a problem because I'm going to be honest with you. You don't live your life that way.
What do you mean?
That sounded meaner than
it's because it sounded mean because I think it was.
No. You know how there's that guy who takes about 57 tablets a day and he flexes and stretches every muscle in his body.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
And he gets blood transfusions of his son's blood and he's aging backwards and da 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 doing all that kind of. You drink Pepsi Max.
Oh, well, put me in prison and send me off to my early grave now. How dare I have a Pepsi Max? This temple that once was has now been besmirched by carbonated sugar water. Actually, no, because it's with the Max, there's no sugar.
There's no sugar.
But
it's fake sugar.
I understand I probably could be doing more. But regardless, I just don't like the idea of not being around. I love life. I love living. I love my family. I love my friends. I love my job. I know that these things will all change, but I would just like to keep the party going.
Yeah.
When the dance floor is pumping, you don't get the DJ out of the room.
Absolutely not. Keep going.
So I've been, like, Jess likes to bring things to the show that kind of give me hope.
Oh, okay.
Of, like, life expectancies increasing. And we're in the generation where, like, life expectancies, they are increasing, which
Absolutely.
Is fantastic, especially in Australia. A futurist, do you know what a futurist is?
Yes.
If you don't know, it is someone that is predicting lifestyles, trends, the way that the future will work. A futurist has said by the year 2036, they believe that we will crack the code on how to live forever.
2036?
2036.
That's very specific. What is going to happen in the next 12 years that they think that, hey, we're going to have this sorted?
I don't know. I don't care. I know that this will only be probably if it ever gets to a point where there's like a live forever pill or something you can do where maybe your consciousness moves to another thing.
Yeah.
I know that it's not going to be for $35. You too can live forever. It will only be available to a select few. How do we put ourselves closer to that list, Sarah Marie?
So you want to know how to get your hands on something that is going to be finite in a world with billions of people, and yet somehow you and I, or you and Jess, you know, because 2036, I won't be here.
Well, I think because you never know. Like, I think 2036, you won't. Jesus.
Not in this building. I mean, I might. I'm
well,
alive.
If you get the pill.
Sure.
If you get the pill.
No,
the
I don't want to be on the pill.
If you want,
so
if
I don't
you
have
get
a
the,
uterus anymore, so I don't need to be on the pill.
Forever living pill, then you can continue to live forever. And I think, you know, doing 1 month fill-in work on this show, I think that qualifies you as part of the team.
Okay, sure. For the purpose of this part of the story, I can be part of this looking ahead 12 years from now. My question to you is, what you want to live forever aging at the rate that you are, or do you at some point want to stop?
Give me 6 months to get in shape.
6 months?
And then I'll take the pill, and then, like, hypothetically, if, like, let's just like straight barrel it.
Yeah.
If you were able to take a pill tomorrow, exactly how you are right now, you and your husband, you and your best friends, you and your family, you all take the pill, live forever, yes or no?
Yeah.
Some hesitation.
Well, but I don't know. I feel like there's got to be consequences to it. There just has to be.
Yeah, no death. I've outlined it clearly.
I don't understand how we're going to achieve this. It's also slightly terrifying as well.
Oh, so scary. I'm terrified. But you know what scares me more?
Dying, apparently.
Death.
Well, how did you get so scared of this?
Oh, it was one of those lockdown panic attack things.
Oh, one
I had
of those.
One panic attack in my life and it was the old death panic attack.
Sorry, hang on. Did you just say you've only had one panic attack in your life? That is the greatest humble brag I have ever heard. Are you kidding me?
I'm not here for you to be like, well, everyone's having panic. I'm just saying, this is my experience. I've been very open with it.
How does a guy who's petrified of dying only manage to have one anxiety attack, and that is in a lockdown, which you can completely understand?
I agree. I've had a pretty good run.
Yeah.
So I'd like to keep it going, as you can surely understand. Imagine if that, in 3,000 years, is still the only panic attack I've ever had.
And you know what will still be the same thing happening now that will be happening then too? Essendon will still be awful, and you'll have a terrible team that you're barracking for.
It's all right. At least I have Pepsi Max to lean back on. The Bombers have never been there for me. Pepsi Max has recently.
This is Tim and Jess.
Once a week. Even if it is Sarah Marie instead of Jess, we set aside time for having a disagreement, an argument, a Barney, a wazoo.
Keep going.
We bring it to the courtroom of Tim and Jess.
Tim and Jess.
You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session, and Sarah Marie, what I'm really enjoying about getting to work with you for the week and a half is, at least so far, we've discovered we are very different people.
Oh, yeah, we are.
And live our lives in quite different styles. So having things that we're like, you know, just not meshing with seems to be commonplace, which I love, because imagine if you were just like, yeah, I agree. Boring.
I know. So boring.
Disgusting. I hate it.
Yeah, because it would be disgusting to go for Essendon. Ugh.
Okay, that is...
Ugh. Go on, go on.
Deep breaths. Don't say anything you won't regret.
Still got another 2 weeks with me left, mate.
Well, will you make it now? what I want to talk about, I know we disagree upon. It has to do with how we're using the dishwasher. And what's going to happen is we're going to get someone to decide who's right. It becomes the law across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine. Because the dishwasher experts come out and said there's five things you should never do when it comes to... I know, a dishwasher expert. I can see you flapping your arms around like a wounded gull.
I cannot. I'm a dishwashing expert?
Well, I imagine that there is somebody who maybe designed, like surely like an architect for dishwashers would be classified.
Just because
classified.
You do something a lot doesn't mean that you're an expert. I mean, we can't call you the Burt's Bees lipstick expert, whatever you're using there, rubbing on your lips all the time.
Just, can someone get me some cold water and a towel for that sick burn? Ow! I'll never recover. For a stand-up comedian, that had zero salt and pepper on it, Sarah Marie.
No, I'm not saying, I wasn't trying to be offended. I'm just saying, just because you do something a lot doesn't make you an expert. But go on, tell me more about this person who's a dishwashing expert.
One of the big things is their no-nos is that you should not be putting things into your dishwasher if you haven't rinsed them. And this is the origin of what we're going to be disagreeing about today. It's because I'm a full-blown rinser, FBR, and you were saying earlier
that... I'm a reformed FBR.
What do you mean reformed?
Because another dishwashing expert...
Oh, sorry, you just went from -5 to 20.
Sorry, I went really hard.
Your body, you heaved back like a slingshot before it launched.
I can't...
I'm more like impressed at the, like, you got to about 120 degrees backwards, my guy.
I used to be really good at limboing.
Wow. Can we get a, I know I've just asked for ice, but another sick burn has happened. I'll never recover.
They're not meant to be burns. Anyway, I don't know however long ago, but at some point somebody else said that you are not meant to rinse your dishes before they go in the dishwasher. And I feel like it was even on the project. And then Jonas and I were talking.
Carrie Bickmore says it must be true.
I didn't mean the project from 2 years ago. She's not on there anymore. It's probably Georgie Tunney. Anywho, Jonas and I, my husband, we were discussing the fact that apparently you're not meant to, and all you're doing is wasting water, and you can just pop it on in there now. So I am a reformed rinser. However, there is a very important addendum to this, because this happened just last night. Jonas decided to just chuck his chicken in the pan, as you'd say, raw dog it, with no oil.
I'm glad I'm rubbing off on you. I thought
I used it facetiously. Don't get excited.
In week four we might get a raw dog out of Sarah Marie, but here we are, 1.5 weeks in, and I got an RD.
I'm talking about chicken in a pan. Anyway, he's like, "Nah, this is a nonstick pan. This will be fine." And he just chucks it in there, and I was like, "Mate, that is not a nonstick pan." And guess what? It stuck so much. So we had to do a bit of a pre-rinse before it went into the dishwasher. But apart from that,
Sarah Marie,
yeah, man,
I, for lack of a better word to describe what you're giving your dishwasher without rinsing it. Think of the food clag building up at the bottom. Like, but you won't have to if you just do a quick rinse before you put it in the dishwasher.
I used to do that, but another dishwashing expert told me not to, so I'm reformed.
You found the other dishwashing expert? There's
the
only
one.
Two out there.
That's it.
Fair
only
enough.
Two.
Composing. All right. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. You be the judge. Call through. Whatever you say, it becomes law across Geelong Surf Coast and the Bellarine. Should you rinse the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher? Hayden from Belmont has given us a call. He is our judge today. Good afternoon, Your Honour.
Good afternoon. Please be seated.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Well, I'll just get a chair. I wasn't expecting this. Hayden, now, whatever you say becomes law across Geelong Surf Coast and the Bellarine, so the price is quite high on your shoulders. Do you have a dishwasher?
I do.
La-di-da. Must be nice.
What's his name?
Not her.
Okay.
That was the joke.
Hayden, I've lived in houses without dishwashers. I definitely prefer having them. It makes life... When you have a good one, I think you finally realise how crap your other dishwashers were. So the rental I'm currently in, like, this is the best dishwasher I've had in any rental by far. So it's so nice. But I think it's nice because I respect it. I'm rinsing the plates before I put it in. How does that make you feel?
Mate, I'm all team Tim. Got to be rinsed. Get them in there. Done.
No. No, you don't. You're wasting time. Stop. You're wasting money.
Sorry, mate.
What are you doing?
No, listen, it's got to be rinsed. If you got kids, they eat eggs. They put the utensils in. They're not washed. That's not getting cleaned.
I love that eggs was the thing.
That's the thing.
That broke him. Have you smelled eggs in the dishwasher?
I mean, wet leftover, like, scrambled eggs. I've started to experience it with my 10-month-old son because he'll just mush it and then he'll put water in it. And it's just my least favourite textured thing that's ever existed. But imagine all of that wet egg building up at the bottom of your dishwasher, Hayden. Wouldn't that be a nightmare scenario?
No good. No good. No good coming from that.
All right. Well, Hayden, the gavel is down. Thank you very, very much, Your Honour. Have a great day. You never know. You might end up in the Caller Hall of Fame tomorrow winning $100 to the Sporting Globe. Ooh. Geelong Eat, Drink, Sport. Thank you so much, Your Honour.
Happy days.
Happy days indeed.
No, I disagree.
Well, the thing is, I know that you're new here, but unfortunately, and I've been on the receiving end of this far more times than I'm happy to admit, once the judge has had their final say, then that's
the law.
That's biscuits,
well,
mate.
Well, mate, I'm going home and I'm breaking the law tonight.
Well, I didn't realise that we had a leather jacket wearing.
That's me.
Mostly swearing little baddie in the building. Here she is, Sarah Marie.
Mostly swearing?
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
All right, when we turn off the microphones and you tell me to get effed.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I received such a beautiful message on Facebook the other day and I just had to share it.
Okay.
Because it was so delightful. And it was off the back of us playing Spell My Name.
Now, Spell My Name, we do that every single week. Tuesdays. Trying to spell listeners' names, whether it's theirs or a family member's. And the whole point of it is, yeah, we like to be right and we like to win, but it's about offering the thrill of hearing yours or someone you love's name spelled correctly for the first time. Because we've all been there if you got those unique names.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, whether it's a doctor's office, whether it's at school, you're like, yeah, I'm here, even though that's not my name, sure.
Yeah, that's
yeah, right, okay, whatever. But, yeah, when you get that thrill, it's really the spice of life.
Well, we added an extra thrill and we didn't even realise. So we were making a bit of a joke about the fact that I have dyslexia, amongst other things going on, right?
I would like to just quickly remove myself from the we were making fun of you having dyslexia.
No.
You said you have dyslexia and I laughed. That is a different thing.
What a great moment to
step
up.
Yeah, can't win them all.
That word. No. It was like you planned it. It was perfect. No, it's okay. We're friends. We can have a laugh. I have a laugh. And so I'm here with a pen and paper and I've got to write out the names. But we get there and I have a lot of fun. And I make jokes and I always have made jokes about being dyslexic.
Because all it is just learning a different way, really. But then I often forget about the fact that it could mean so much else. It could mean so much to someone else who has dyslexia. And that is exactly what happened. So I received a message from Melissa saying, I was listening to you on K-Rock playing Spell My Name this afternoon while in the car with my 8-year-old son who has recently been diagnosed with dyslexia and is really struggling with it as he feels different to other kids. But he was so excited when he heard you say that you were dyslexic just like him. Thank you for being so open and honest and normalising this. It certainly made my son's day.
That's lovely.
Isn't it?
It's very, very nice.
When I was diagnosed with dyslexia, barely anybody was talking. It just was not a thing. I can't stress that enough.
Was this a childhood situation later in life?
Oh my gosh, it was so late in high school. I was in year 9. And up until this point, I was actually being taken out of class with the support teachers. So pretty much all through primary school and then through high school, my parents would receive all these letters being told to take me to the optometrist because there must be something wrong with my eyes because I'm not writing the letters that they're writing up on the board because I couldn't read it properly.
If someone's listening and they don't fully grasp dyslexia, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, could you do like a really good snapshot kind of personally what your interpretation of dyslexia is?
Dyslexia can be written and it can also be experienced while reading, and it can also be verbal, and it can affect people with numbers and with letters as well. So you may have some or all or only one of those issues. And for me, it's all of them. So I've really got to think when I'm talking quite often. And I talk for a living in so many facets on the radio and hosting events and doing stand-up comedy as well. And I've just got to slow myself down because when I get overexcited, that is when it is just a dog's breakfast.
So when I assume when you were younger and you thought, how can I get around this? I'll exclusively talk for a living.
Yeah.
That should make this career choice really breezy for me.
And reading was so bad for me when I was growing up. I struggled so much. And when we'd be in class and you get to the point where everybody would have to read a line or a blurb out of a textbook, whenever it got to me, the entire class would just sigh simultaneously going, why are we going to get her reading? We all know that she's going to stuff it up in a millisecond. And I would, obviously, with that kind of pressure. And then comes a phenomenal teacher that I had, an English teacher by the name of Gail Hardy, who unfortunately passed away in 2009. But when I was in year nine, she just picked it up and then started putting me through some tests. And she was like, you're not dumb and you don't have any intellectual problems at all. You just need to learn to read differently and you need to learn to be educated in a different way and engaged slightly differently in class. She changed my life. My scores and grades changed immediately from that moment on. And I went from a student who was, I was failing easily, but I mean, my parents were paying so much money at the school, I think they just kept passing me. And they're like, sure, we'll just let her go to year 8, even though she's definitely not passing maths or English. And then in the end, I was getting highly commended and A's. I cried when I got an A on a maths test in year 10. So, and now it's just normal for me. But I understand and I can also forget that it's not normal for everybody else. So I love that there was an 8-year-old boy that just felt fine. And it is, because you are fine.
Absolutely.
If you've got dyslexia, you're fine. If you're on the spectrum, you're fine. You've got ADHD, you're fine. How do I know? I've got all of them and I'm here. You're going to be okay.
Here and thriving.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.